Greetings, Be Aware people, and welcome to another show exploring the nature of awareness and the nature of self in the new year.
Happy, happy new year. The first show of 2008 for Be Aware Nation, where being aware is definitely a state we want to put our mind in for 2008.
We are certainly going to be motivated to jump on this bandwagon of awareness that continues to grow and swell and expand all around us. It's a very, very exciting and enlivening time where the opportunities for sharing that awareness continue to grow all the time. And this certain internet network is a focal point of making that begin to happen in a very robust manner. So congratulations to everyone at the BBS network, and certainly look forward to an expanded 2008 calendar year where we're all able to really significantly look like we are lined up and ready to begin to create a synthesis amongst ourselves individually and collectively in ways that we've never seen done before within the human family. And we're all here together to be witness to it. So that's a very thrilling opportunity in and of itself. And because of where we are technologically, we're even going to be able to experience that in a very, very visceral manner. And that type of visceral awareness is really what we want to focus on tonight. The significance of what awareness, what being aware, what the state of awareness, how to be aware, what being aware really means, and how the significance of that plays out. So it's going to be a pretty interesting exploration, and we're pretty excited about how we can begin to describe this in ways that we think will cause you all to be inspired and excited and thrilled at wanting to share your own interpretations of it. So certainly don't forget that there's plenty of opportunities for engagement here, and we want to reach out at all times. So we're looking for new ways to continue to build these bridges and begin to use these new technological wonders in ways to bring these messages to life in ways that we've never been able to do before either. So the common cloth of creativity has really become far more colorful, and we're all beneficiaries and recipients of a much more enlivened show. And everybody fundamentally is now able to participate in both the creation and the witness of those creations in a pretty fluid, seamless manner. Media is certainly a currency of our times. And our challenge, the one component and basis of our work, is really seeking to find the way to make love the currency of our experience with that media, to translate the media that we encounter and experience into a living system of love that enables us to share with each other the fundamentals of our being in that kind of enlivened, robust, entertaining manner. And so exploring how being aware and what being aware means in the world in which we live today, where media is a currency of our time, the main currency of our time, and how and what do we need to do to translate that and transmute that into love as the common currency that builds a civil society, a developed platform wherein civic engagement begets civil commerce, so that love is the enshrining principle, so that we are all ultimately benefiting and enriching each other's humanity and expanding that sense of shared awareness of self and shared self. So we're pretty excited about all of how to bring that to bear in a way that not only causes you to recognize yourself in the process, but how to bring yourself into a declarative fashion, into an enlivened component and participant of this process. This is really about what do we need to do individually and what do we need to do collectively to cause each other to be able to stimulate and inspire each other to want to declare, want to define what it is these expanded sense of selves are discovering within these new states of awareness. Because now that we recognize that we are aware of being aware, there is no more static time. There is no more static anything. As we explored last week, evolution itself, the conscious state of evolutionizing our experiences, the very nature of change itself is truly just expansion. It's just a layering over of more experiences. An expanded sense of self is an additional self, an additional perception of self. And so how we integrate those expanded interpretations, those expanded experiences, how we continue to weave those together to tell a compelling story of ourselves in process that we want to share with each other is the challenge we all face. And as that awareness scape grows, as we begin to learn how to more fluidly synthesize those multiple layers of selves into a more unified representation of self, more flavors, more colors, more forces come into play.
And speaking of those layers and those forces and colors and different dynamics, can we really live in a state of awareness? How do we commit to living in this state of awareness with all of this dynamic? Or is it really just too much to expect? Are we simply so programmed to accept the status quo that we don't have to change or adapt to these increasing complexities that you just described? Or is it just easier to assume what you perceive as a, quote, safe position and hope to ride it out? And hope is quite an interesting, it's a thread that we hold on to. Is it a thread or is it an underpinning? And I think that's sort of the crux of it. Hope is an acronym that we have ascribed here at the Aware Nation to the word hope, and it means harnessing our potential energies. Hope, harnessing our potential energies. And what that really means is it's not just a thread, it's not just a fleeting kind of grasp at a straw hope. Hope is truly a dynamic underpinning of our awareness. Because through hope, we are always aware that we can harness this potential energy that is always around us, that is within us and outside of us. And by harnessing that energy through our awareness, we can focus that energy to then deal with this incredible complexity of dynamics that we face in being aware. And I think that's just such a critical question about what does it really take to live in a state of awareness, right? I mean,
that's true. It's really, it's like when in saying that, it's that whole sense of hope. It's like, well, the nature of hope is always held out as salvation, as redeemer, as the thing that is our savior. And within the realm of hope, again, it's like awareness and self. You know, what is being and what is aware? You know, when do they come together? Where do they come together? How do they come together? Where is that place wherein their synthesis becomes one and they operate and frame the experience of self as one? And that's the same as hope. Where that being and awareness become interwoven and become one is where hope is born.
Mm-hmm.
Because the ideal of self that can perpetuate is essentially what fuels hope. The very essence of harnessing our potential energies, the very nature of the fact that we are aware and can recognize that there is potentiality always existent in energy, that it is up to our interpretation to transmute that energy into whatever reality we can construct through our design. And how do we get that design into a constructive reality to make that real so that our sense of self gets validated through that aspect of hope?
Well, and you know, this the whole thing about this renewal of a new year, you know, we just celebrate so intensely with anticipation this new year, because it does represent renewal. And so we create these ideas, these expectations, these goals, these plans, these commitments to this renewal. And we know that we have to let go of old and bring in new. And of course, as we talked about last week, it's not dismantling everything. It's about refining it through this being in consort, being in rhythm, being in symmetry with evolution. We take the essence of what works, what is good, and what is our fundamental ethos, and we transform it into an expanded version of our awareness, and logistically translate it into these goals and plans for a new year. And yet here we are on January 6th, and perhaps there's already been adjustments having to be made to those plans and goals, even within the first week of our excited commitment to this change. And so then we look and we say, well, how are we doing so far? And that in itself is a state of awareness, because we are aware, we know, we compare what is in the moment to what was expected, and we say, okay, I need to grade, I need to judge what it is I expected to what reality the organic process of living has delivered to my design. Because the design that we imagine, that we create, doesn't always manifest as we would like it to. And so there comes this adaptability of the organic process of the moment to moment, of the environment itself, which then, of course, as we observe the environment and we respond to the environment, we must adapt, again, more awareness. And so we go back to the complexity that you spoke about in the very beginning. There's colors, which are joy, and then there's conflict and chaos, which can cause us to have reactionary responses as opposed to positive, strength to responding to those. And so it's almost like, is the change, do we see the change, how does the change occur, how does all of this evolution of taking the essence of the old and repurposing it into the new. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, it's a very significant component of how this new sense of self in expressing itself becomes realized. It's as expanded awareness begets more acknowledgement of the layers of our experiences. As we're more able to begin to acknowledge those separate layers, those separate selves, those dynamic aspects that continually want to play out or act out or speak out, or, you know, again, those aspects of ourselves that are making themselves known, to become a unified, synthesized, balanced, holistic representation of self. There is a common desire in every cell of our being, in every cell of the universe, to express an expanded sense of cooperation and synthesis and unity. And as those principal forces of intention across the universe play out, then all of those potential energies that we are busy harnessing are already pre-prescribed with their own cellular information, their own communication carriers and language links. They possess the basic operating material that is already creating the very nature of our communication that we want to now make about this acknowledgement of these layers of self. The very nature of the fact that we are now more able to collectively speak to the acknowledgement of the layers of self in a way in which we have a communication protocol becoming established. We all now are less fearful about acknowledging that we have forces in play within the field of our self, wherein we are constantly attempting to corral them and bring them into some form of balance and knowledgeable relationship, so that each one is connected in such a way that they are all part of a common purposeful whole.
That's so true. And that it, there lies the rub in, can we really live in a state of awareness, or is it just too much to expect? I mean, talk about corralling those selves. That when we make a plan, when we design our desires, when we formulate in our imagination this expected outcome based on these ingredients that we plan to bring to the table, do we really discern the selves and which selves have a better opportunity to flourish and will serve us best by allowing that self or those selves to lead the charge?
So much of it is incumbent upon this whole aspect that we've been promoting about literally learning how to communicate, learning what the words are, mm-hmm. learning how to create new interpretations, new definitions, learning how to begin to describe these experiences of acknowledgement of self, of these layers. How does each one of those layers own definition of self, their own language that they speak? Remember, all of this acknowledgement of self, of layers of ourselves, of coming to know this expanded self, is all happening while the world is busy turning 78. There's an enormous amount of change afoot, and that evolutionary force that is pushing change on all those layers is demanding that not only do we come to know those layered selves, but we come to know them in a synthesized manner and in a way that identifies, as you just so rightfully said, which one is most prepared today to be able to step out in front and become who can legitimately say, it's media and me. I am equal to this media machine, and I can interpret this media flow so that I can literally translate this media into a mind that matters for my collective selves.
Mm-hmm.
And that's our challenge. How does our expanded sense of self come to bear with all of these forces in a constructive manner? So here we are 6 days in, as we say, and just the examination of, holy moly, that there's an awful lot going on. We really gotta be up to the task, and it can easily become overwhelming. This level of awareness can be daunting. It can be.
But it's so interesting that, you know, as a collective sort of population of the world, you could probably go, granted, some people have no idea what a theme park is like. They've never had the opportunity. It's like, but you'd have to say that probably a large population of our world does have some sense of a theme park or some exciting, adventure or...
Carnival experience.
Carnival, there you go. Every culture has some sort of celebratory, carnival-type opportunity that they right. that they look forward to presenting to each other. And so we love here in the Western world this theme park, and it's just so ironic that we will scare the bejesus out of ourselves and go on all these incredible rides that get more and more sophisticated. I mean, the kinds of rides, the roller coasters now, the technology that gives these rides, these, you know, just over the moon. And yet we retreat from our own excitement about our own potential, about the incredible complexity of our own imagination and the layers that go into making our design really exemplify our desires. It's just quite something, isn't it, that we're so willing to go there, but we won't go over here so often.
Listen, we all have a much more innate cellular relationship, and that's what we're speaking about.
Mm-hmm.
The kind of cellular relationship, the kind of cellular communication that goes on amongst these selves. These selves are expression of one human brain, of one
mm-hmm.
mind, of one individual mind that is literally coded as these individual selves that become expressed however they do through this one body. And so that's a lot of complexity right there. How in the world do we all ever even manage to get through a 24-hour day? So that's an awful lot of stumbling, bumbling, and crumbling that goes into remaking ourselves every single day already. We already do it.
Which is great, which is fine. It's real.
Well, the change that occurs that we know is so much a instinctual part of our survival. And that's where this idea of fear and fascination of fear in ourselves is so real. You know,
mm-hmm.
we've dealt with fear as a fundamental component of every single part of our experience. It's our driver. It's what we live for and by. And so we're fascinated by it in every way possible. So we're much more readily accepting of a fear state of mind than we are a change, adaptive, or expansion-oriented state of mind. That's why awareness is difficult work. That's why as enlivening, as joyous as it is, when you live in a state of awareness, in that state of knowing, the willingness to embrace the unknown in such a open fashion immediately opens oneself up to an expanded opportunity for fear to invade. And what we all fundamentally know is where we have constructed our sense of security. So our sense of security that is so fundamental to our instinctual sense of self is what we have constructed our interpretations of self out of. So the boundaries of our experiences, the boundaries that frame our interpretations of self, are constructed and are placed there because that's where we intuitively, instinctually believe our natural sense of securitization is capable of enabling us to operate. And so to ask people to now grab a hold of this expanded sense of knowing and to use that sense of knowing to begin to accept the possibility that going beyond those boundaries will produce not just fear, not just insecurity, but the potentiality of an expanded sense of self where neither fear nor insecurity are known, are a part of the knowing. That the knowing so increases that the state of awareness and creative capacity so increases that it begins to forever mute the concept and idea of fear and insecurity.
Mm-hmm.
And that type of potentiality, that level of transformative energy that one possesses in an expanded state of awareness is quite an obligation.
Well, and I think, too, though, that the good news is that with the bad news comes this sense of expansion. Because if you take the state of affairs on many levels in the world, the global world today, there's a lot of upheaval, and you can look everywhere that as the shift is beginning to really take effect now, an accelerated effect as well, in the economy, the global economy, you know, everything is so interconnected. And people's insecurity about money, their insecurity about their safety as just in their neighborhoods or as their country is, you know, going to war. How do we get all of these religions from, you know, warring against each other to be on some same page so that there is some, living within each other's, ideals, yet living in peace. And it seems so sometimes out of reach as the chaos accelerates. As we know it all must for this very huge shift that is imminent to occur. Things have to really be arranged. And they will be arranged through nature, and they will be arranged through our actual process of living. And so within that, people's sense of insecurity has actually given them a desire to be more aware. And through that awareness, they have found a state of inspiration through their own personal awareness because they recognize that's the one thing they have control over. And I think you're so right that we have to learn. We have to teach ourselves and reach out to teach others about this language, these language links that formulate the sense of security that we can wrap ourselves around and therefore share with others. I think that's one of the fundamental keys.
As we go forward and know now that, you know, this physical world in which we have traditionally and conventionally operated in becomes less and less important in terms of how we deal with each other, how we transact those very basic elements of human commerce. You know, the significance of how human commerce has grown and expanded to become what it has. The very nature of what we have done and how we have evolved and how we have developed as the human species through human commerce to get to a point in the place where technologically we are able to be so interconnected with every single person on the globe. The significance of the fact that more than half the population on the globe now possesses a cell phone. That sense of interconnectivity to that many minds, that those individual minds now being able to be networked so that the information can flow, so that it can be translated into working, living knowledge, so that by living that knowledge, it can be transmuted into wisdom that can be shared. That level of humanity, having that type of capacity to translate and harness that type of potential energy that exists within our ether and grab a hold of those energies and translate them through individual interpretations into the communication carriers that enable each and every one of those individual 3 billion minds to network together and cellularly communicate and share their experience of self, transmutes a type and quality and quantity of informed knowledge that collectively our human family will begin to transmute into a type of living wisdom that will deliver a sense of awareness where a lot of these insecurities will literally evaporate.
Right. Because that state of interconnectedness connects us, and therefore that sense of isolation and when you're is evaporated to some degree. And when you feel connected, you feel more in control. So be it with yourselves or your environment, meaning the people, places, and things, you feel that you are in control because you are aware of what is going on, and your access to that awareness outside of yourself is more and more accessible through technology.
And that's really the most exciting component of all of it. You know, the very nature of how it's easy to bemoan media and
bemoan technology.
And to, you know, decry the over invasion of our sensory capacity does not speak to the full breadth of our experientialness and how much our human nature is ready for an expanded media experience, and how much we want a multidimensional opportunity to stimulate and inspire us, and how we want to be plugged in as many ways as possible to stimulate all of our senses and all of our organs and all of our cells to bring that sense of enlivenment, to bring that sense of expanded self, and charge it with that kind of enlivened sense of being so that it can be shared even broader in many more ways. Because we recognize now that the opportunity to share it is where we are enabling a whole new layer of communication to occur, a whole new manner of being networked together, wherein the sharing of that networked sense brings about its own experience. And so experience upon experience upon experience, that expanded sense of experientialness begins to flavor our interpretations of self in such a much broader, more colorful manner. And again, the opportunities, as you said, to just be aware that being aware begets awareness. And by begetting awareness, that means there is simply more awareness in the ether, so that we can depend more righteously that awareness is all around us, so that it enables us to begin to let go of the old ways, which is fear.
And letting go of that also in terms of being more aware through all of these access points that we now have available, and our own, just most importantly, our fundamental conscious desire to be more aware, whether it's something that someone's proactively working on or whether it's just a state that is permeating the collective consciousness because people are discussing it and living it and talking about breaking down these ways we access awareness. That when you talk about understanding the interconnectedness, you also have to recognize that with that fear of then there's too much access, therefore that means too many people have access to my ideas, if you will, as an example. And that creates competition. And so then we find ourselves in a state of competition. And really, is competition a bad word? Is a word that we need to evolutionize in our language?
It's a really important and timely opportunity to look at the delineation of how our experiences inform ourselves. And what are the principles in play that essentially make up the framework structures and models that are the cellular componentry of our experience? And is it, that's where ethos really comes into play. How do we characterize our actions? How do we bring our character to bear within our thoughts, words, and deeds? How do that idealistic way of believing become a practical, functional way of living? And that's an enormous challenge for most people, that they just simply feel overwhelmed at attempting to try to muster a synthesis of within the constrictive and constraining way in which evolution is compressing everything about life today. And what it looks, and which makes it look like so many of our options, opportunities, and chances are being taken away from us. As opposed to, which is wherein then, which is what begets the concept and idea of chaos, and that we are entering a chaotic period of time. Well, awareness is present to showcase that it isn't chaos It's complexity. And the now that we are aware of all of those conflagrating energy forces, we are able to discern them much more acutely, much more adroitly, which is what enables us to begin to recognize the delineation between the layers. As we begin to delineate between the layers, we're able to distinguish which layer represents what. As we are able to do that, we're able to assign values to each one of those layers and what their associative relationship is to our interpretation of self, and what the interpretive relationship is to the other layers. And so all of that knowledge that comes from our capacity to discern and delineate between the layers of our experience is what delivers us a perception of complexity that reduces the fear and angst and insecurity of what could look like the shock and awe of chaos and competition. So how do we use those competitive forces in an evolutionized manner? How do we allow for all of the forces to be in play in a natural, organic, synthesized, balanced manner? Through awareness. It's the only way. By being aware of what each individual force has as its intention and purpose, and to be able to delineate how and where it fits and where it's going, so that we can bring our design capacity, our design elements, our design function to bear on those forces now that we know what their basic operational componentry is. We know how to design them into our living system schema so that our synthesized sense of self no longer has to operate with shock and awe as if we're tiptoeing through chaos land, waiting to be blown to bits by fear. We now have complete command over ourselves because we have been able to recognize that to live in a state of awareness, to live in a state of knowing, means you are willing to embrace the unknown at such a level because you are capable of displaying the courage necessary to be true to your ideals, those commitments of self that can shine through no matter what we're faced with, no matter where it shows up. And that's what the challenge of this new year brings about, is how do we use this expanded sense of self? How do we bring our expanded sense of self? Remember, being aware. How do we bring expanded sense of self to expanded awareness and synthesize that into a living system schema for 2008 that not only delivers ourselves a robust, enlivened experience, but also enables that participation of self to beget a communal, a global balance of being where we are all collectively able to cooperatively share our human experience so that the value of our being, the enrichment of living, rises for everyone. And that's where equity really begins to become the basis of the currency of what our experiences really needs to be about. You know, where we really are capable, that's where translating all of this media into truly the use to be able to use it in every form possible to express love as the currency of our lives. So that the reason for living is to simply showcase the capacity to love.
And
truly, we've got a long way to go.
What?
We've got a long way to go.
Well, we've come a long way. And I think that, you know, when you talk about courage, it's that same idea of the theme park, that I can go on this ride. I'm brave enough to do it because I want the experience. And so that unknown frontier that we're just learning so much about awareness, about how the brain works, you know, brain science, the fascinating convergence of science and spirit, the wisdom of the human love of life, utilizing the laws of science, and how does all of this knowledge, people's ability to really have ether communications and articulate them as such, again, that whole sense of the excitement now about exploring the vast human potential of our minds, individually and collectively, as opposed to making it something that just talking about your many selves, again, in the past was the past. It wasn't something we spoke about. So look how far we've come. And so that sense of courage to be an explorer of your own operating system, your own wonderful vista of opportunity, that you can now be the pioneer, and that courage, that you find comfort in your courage because you know that love is the fundamental ingredient, and love is truth, and truth is love. And so everything that you're about to find access to the deepest reservoir of your love and truth is surely the greatest security that you can find as you explore this incredible unknown. And I think that that's what this concept of living in a state of awareness is about. If you simply grab a hold of your love and your willingness to share that, you'll always be taken care of. No matter what happens, if you have love and you're willing to share, you can pass, you can leave the body, anything can happen, but the love will vibrate you through and always take care of you. And that's just the fundamental ethos, as you say, that one has to decide works for them or doesn't. I think it's a tremendous anchor to keep you feeling that you're always centered in this state of shifting chaos.
It's really an interesting moment in time for all of us to even identify those aspects of the process that really do create angst and fear and insecurity for us. You know, in any way, shape, and form, you know, what do they call it? Safety in numbers.
Mm-hmm.
And so if it's safety and security and you know, trying to find a sense of, you know, ability to be able to, I don't want to say keep things as they are, because I don't think that any rational person that, alive, as we age and mature and go through our lives, processes in any form or fashion, we have to acknowledge that change occurs. And so the ways in which we already find ourselves adapting to change, in many of the same ways that we like to talk about all of this, and I think really this is as good a place as any, excuse me, as well, that we're already where we are, and we can't be anywhere other than where we are. And yet, no matter who we are or where we are, what we are all experiencing is an expanded state of awareness, an expanded state of sense of self. And an expanded state of awareness around us, which enables us to immediately let go of preconceived notion of any kind brought about by any reason to constrain that intuitive sense of knowing from believing that this sense of awareness is fundamentally beneficial and enriching to our sense of self, and in such a way that it enables all of us to have an expanded belief that our fear and angst is somehow mitigated because we're in this together. We have an interconnected sense of awareness wherein there is safety in the numbers by which we are interconnected in having this expanded sense of awareness. So the intuitive nature of awareness's own capacity, the universe's own capacity to bring evolution, to consciously evolutionize the state of life by which we are symbiotically connected to enable this state of awareness to permeate in such a way so that the layers of our experiences become charged with knowing, to deliver ourselves to a positionality wherein we're far more willing to hear, to engage the concept of integrated selves, of expanded awareness, of shared experiences that deliver a sense of enrichment not known before, but always hungered for, and now tasted and known about, so there's a fervor for. And so we can't confuse our natural organic fervor for more connectivity with fear of overindulgence or overexposure to their media. We have to take command of self, of our own integrated, synthesized living system schema, to design the type of media experiences we want to have so that we can evolutionize our own mind into a mind that matters through our relationship and communication with the media that exists. That's what being aware is a state to put your mind in means. That's why we're so focused on being committed to the examination of what we know and how we know what we know. So please join us at Be Aware Nation and continue the exploration. And we'll see you next week
along
the pathways of the TTT. See you in the ether.
See you in the ether.
Thank you for joining us, Be Aware people, here at Be Aware Nation, where being aware is a state to put your mind in. So come visit us at BeAwareNation.com until we can continue our conversation next Sunday at 5 p.m. here on BBS Radio Channel 1, where we'll look forward to finding out what you're doing to merge medias into your mind in a way that matters. Remember, life affirms what you believe, so don't believe everything you think. Intuit your way home. See you in the ether.